this morning, and maybe hopefully within the course of the next 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to give you the whole Bible on faith. Not my wife, but not who faith is, but what I could really give you a book. And I'm sure she could do the same. What is faith? And so, Aaron, when you get ready to record that, that's something you can pass on to Tom. What is faith? And when he formats it for the website, and we'll do the scriptures with it as well. And I know, probably like you, I have read many, many books on the subject of what is faith. And what I've come away with in all of that, I found the key principles of it in something Jesus told about the children, that except they have the faith of a little child, they'll not even enter into the kingdom of heaven. And in all of our studying and reading, we should, so that we have more knowledge about particular things. But there comes a point where, on the matter of the principles of faith, the people I see that struggle the most are the ones that intellectualize everything, and they can't appreciate the simplicity. And I'll preclude that with, yesterday our granddaughter out in Oklahoma was going around the house singing Christmas songs. My daughter would love to put up her Christmas tree, usually by Labor Day. And they live in this Christmas mentality. And I thought, that is so precious and so timely, because we're Christians. Why can't we live in a Christmas atmosphere all the time? We should always be celebrating Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in our spirit, man. You know, there's always a praise party going on. So anyway, here we go. What is faith? And the scripture I started with is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And the writer gives us a very basic one-liner. And it says now. So now means now. It doesn't mean later. It doesn't mean yesterday. Now is a very, it is, but it's constant. Because whatever time it is, it's always now. If you know, it's 20 minutes of 11, but at 11 o'clock, it's now. So faith is always present. Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so I wrote myself down some questions about that we're going to come back to. So what is faith? What is the writer actually saying? And it is the confident assurance that something we desire is going to happen or that we're going to receive. It is a certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. In other words, with the natural eye, you cannot see them yet. But what is substance? And so to better explain that, I like to let the scriptures interpret the scriptures. So we go to Mark chapter 11. And this is an exciting passage, because as you remember, when Jesus came into, he had his friends Mary, Martha, and Lazarus that lived in Bethany, not far from Jerusalem. And on the way through there, Jesus checked out the temple. And he didn't go there yet, because it was early evening. They'd been traveling all day, and he was kind of tired. But he happened to see this fig tree, and he was hungry, and it didn't have any fruit on it. And so he cursed that fig tree, and this is what he said: "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." Those are the words he spoke, and so he went on and stayed with his friends overnight, and the next day he went back to the temple, and that's when he overthrew the, the tables of the money changers. It didn't happen the night before, it happened the next day. And you have to put the gospel account of that together to see that this was the next day, because the disciples had brought that up. It says in the morning in verse 20, as they passed by, they, the disciples, saw the fig tree dried up from the roots from the night before. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, if you study that phrase out, it actually means have the God kind of faith, the God-like faith. He simply spoke to the tree. If you're not going to feed me, you're dead. Boom. End of story. And he spoke it and went on his way. And he didn't look back. You know, I talk to you all the time about speaking to stuff. These are some of the key principles. And so now let's read the rest of it. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he speaks or which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And I don't want to go so much into all that there is here, but when you pray, believe you receive it. I've tried very diligently to get introduced to you the concept of, after we pray, learn to pray prayers of thanksgiving instead of going back to God and keep asking over and over and over and over again. Because once you've asked it, once you've spoken it, you need to believe from that moment that you're going to have whatsoever you speak and not question it. And so with that in mind, there's a plan here that we have to go back to Genesis. What is the substance? What is the underlying principle? And that's we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1. And hopefully this won't take very long. And even if it does, who cares? We brought lunch today, so who cares? We can do that here. We don't live by the clock most of the time. The clock lives by us. So I generally change the battery once every 3 years, just, you know, to make sure we're doing okay. In the beginning, Genesis in the beginning, verse 1. And then we're going to bring out some key points about what faith is. What is faith? How does it work? What are the key ingredients that are necessary to get the desired result? And you can take this and adapt it for your own personal edification and use. You can take this and go with it. So Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's always been good enough with me. I'm just kind of simple. I never bought the hooey in high school, even back in the early 60s when I was in high school. I never bought that there was a big bang. I mean, there could have been, but, you know, God could have gone, bang, there it is. I made it, and that's that. But I never believed, even as a young person in my teenage years, that everything that we see wasn't the way the story was being told in school. God created the heaven and the earth. And then verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And here we start, you see the very first mention of the Holy Spirit in the very first chapter of our Bibles. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, something happened. It was like the Holy Spirit was in a holding pattern, waiting for instructions, if you will. I know that might sound a little strange, but just bear with me. I've taken you out on a limb before, and no one cut the branch off and dropped us suddenly to the ground, because some of us might not be able to get up. All your testimony was timely. So, what was the substance? What was the underlying principle? What was the Holy Spirit waiting for? The substance was God's vision. God saw something before he spoke. And that's really important. If you want to create something, if you want to see changes, get a word picture, get a vision of seeing it done, and then speak to it accordingly. That's really important. So for those things to come to pass, what did God expect when he spoke? Well, I've tried everything else and the earth is still void and dark. Holy Ghost is sitting there waiting for me. I guess I better come up with an answer to the problem. He began to speak things into existence that weren't there before. That's how they were created. So, what was the substance? God's vision. The underlying principle? What did he see before he spoke? What did God expect when he spoke? For those things to come to pass, to come into existence. What should you expect when you speak? If we're Christians, Christ-like ones, look at the fig tree. Jesus gave us an example. You see, this is all connected. That's why I went back to Genesis, because chapter 1 is an incredible description of how everything came into existence. What was God's attitude? Confidence, assurance, 100%, not wishy-washy or double-minded. Well, I don't know if this is going to work or not. Well, I don't see any trees yet. Guess I better do something about that. He didn't think like that. He had such an assurance that whatsoever he spoke, the Holy Spirit was going to take that, because the Holy Spirit is the power factor of God. God speaks, it's the Holy Spirit that brings it into manifestation. When you and I speak, if it's the things of the Lord, and it's in accordance with the Word, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to produce the results, bring those things into manifestation. Yes? It's the power factor of God. He's the creative power. He's the one that manifests what God spoke. Yep. And so what was his attitude? What was God's attitude? He was confident. You see, that's what faith is. It's a confident expectation. It's a confident assurance. Even though you don't see it yet. But when you follow through with what you're speaking, you've got to have that. If you're wishy-washy, like James said, a double-minded, James said, let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. Because doubt and unbelief, a lack of confidence, a lack of assurance, is going to not only hinder your prayer life, but it's going to hinder you from speaking things. I told you about my friend Abraham, who fell off the roof and broke his arm. And he didn't call anybody else in Chester to pray for him. And he said he called me. And he said, because when you pray, things die. Because he knew me well enough to know that when we prayed for Jackie, and he all was in this with me, I said, just as Jesus cursed that fig tree, we curse that cancer in Jesus' name. And we speak to every cell of it and command it to be withered up and dried up and gone. That wasn't just so that sounded nice. I am a firm believer in those things. And I will never be shaken by it. These are truths that I learned more than 30 years ago about the simplicity of faith. I don't have to know how it works. I don't even care how it works. All I know is it does. And that's the simplicity of it with me. I know it does. And so let's look at some interesting things. What was the result? What was the evidence, the creation, his creation? But now let's back up. Chapter 1, 9 times is the phrase, "And God said." I have them all marked. You can look at them. Verse 3, Genesis chapter 1. Y'all got Genesis open? All right, look at the first 3 words. "And God said." Verse 6, "And God said." Verse 9, "And God said." Verse 11, "And God said." Verse 14, "And God said." Verse 20, "And God said." Verse 24, "And God said." Verse 26, "And God said." Verse 29, "And God said." That's how that verse starts. And if you want to know what he said, you can read what he said. And you're going to come to an amazing conclusion. So 9 times in chapter 1 alone, "And God said." That's how everything was created. God spoke something into existence, and the Holy Spirit took his words and caused it to manifest. Now, 6 times, this is important, 6 times is the phrase, "saw that it was good." You've heard me say countless times over the years, God don't make any junk, so be careful what you call yourself. Be careful what you think of others, because everything that God said and it came into existence, he said, "It is good." That's really important. What God said, it came into existence, he said, and it is good. God doesn't make anything that's not good. And then one time, this interesting phrase, "It was very good." And that verse is very interesting, because he talked about creating man in his likeness and in his image, and all that he provided for him, even before man was formed, and God said, "It is very good." So that's why it's important to have an appreciation for people, even though we can debate what they do is not so good or not. Sometimes what we do is not so good. Sometimes what we speak is not always good. But the fact of the simplicity of faith that God spoke it, the Holy Spirit brought it into existence, and God said it was good. And so his creation is good. And I like to use gravity as an example of something you can't see. But if you don't believe in it, I will bring one on. We got a pretty good size ladder down by the steps outside there. And I would put that ladder up on the building so that you can climb up on the roof. And you say that you don't believe in gravity. Gravity can't exist because I can't see it. I can't taste it. I can't feel it. Oh, but you'll feel the face plant if you jump off the roof. And that demonstrates that gravity is. Amen. Gravity is real. So I also look at his creation. So many people that are non-creational in their thinking think that, oh my God, the stars are falling, the earth is going to burn up, the sun's going to draw the earth to it, and we're all going to be burned up in the fire, and all of this bunch of hooey. God created all of these things, and he said it was good. Now, I think it's absolutely phenomenal that, just take the sun. That was the light that God created for a dark world, because God knew that when he created the plants and animals, everything needs a source of light to live. It can't live in the darkness. So he created light, and he spoke it, "Let there be light," and light came, or light was. And so if you look at just the sun has a gravitational pull on all the planets in our solar system. And our solar system is only a small portion of the universe, and even of the galaxy, the Andromeda galaxy, that our solar system is in. While the sun, because its gravitational force on all the planets, keeps the planets in perfect that goes around the sun in an orbit. And it doesn't, there's no flaw, there's nothing wrong with it, and it will always be. Now let's narrow that down. Each planet has enough gravity to hold all the moons that orbit it. I think it's Saturn or Pluto. Pluto, I think, has 12 moons that man has discovered, and they're just beginning to see how vast God's creation really is and how it works. But even the Earth exerts just exactly the right gravity to keep the moon in orbit, and it's not going to fall in the middle of Arizona. It's just not going to happen.
And so that's the dwarf planet, isn't it?
Yeah. And so, but when you think about it, it wasn't there in the beginning. And people try to come up with all of these theories. All they have to do is read Genesis 1:1 and close the book and say, thank you, Lord, that you created all of these things for my enjoyment and my pleasure.
And you can sleep at night.
Yeah. Amen. So that's my little 12-minute dissertation on faith, the simplicity of it. And when I knew that the Finner was out in Oklahoma dancing around singing Christmas songs, because yesterday wasn't Christmas, but in her thinking, why couldn't it be? And we as believers, we live in God's creation that he created, and he said it was good, and we don't need to sweat the small stuff.
Amen.
I mean, when you think of the vastness of what he's done and the simplicity that faith really is, you can see how the writer put it in one line. It is the evidence of things hoped for, or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in all the rest of the chapter, the Hebrews chapter of faith, the writer goes into all of the different people that exercised that faith. It's the God kind of faith. And so when Jesus told his disciples, have faith in God, he was really telling them, yeah, I spoke to that fig tree last night, and you need to have the same kind of faith that God had. See, Jesus was God in an earth suit, so he could legitimately get away with saying that. He was demonstrating to them very clearly who he was inside the earth suit that they saw as Jesus of Nazareth, but it was really God in him. You have God in you. You have creative power when you speak. It can be good things, it can be bad things. Yes, Lorraine. That's right.
Amen.
I'm glad you saw that. Because it is. You see, it's faith that brings the unseen into the seen. Everything starts in the spiritual realm before it manifests in the physical. Its origin is in the spiritual realm. And when you speak with faith, you bring that into existence in the natural realm where it becomes tangible and usable.
Things that are not as though they were.
That's right. And Abraham learned that. He got it from his father.
Gary? And he saw the handiwork of God.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. So it's really exciting. It's simple, but it's exciting when you think about it. Yes. 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 Yeah. Yep. And I called it the underlying. Where did I have it written down about? Because I was trying to come up with words that. What's the underlying principle? That's what substance is. The substance. What is it that undergirds that? What is it that holds it up? What is it that gives it validity and support?
It's now faith, for Jesus is the author
and the finisher of our faith, yes.
And when we're in heaven, we won't need faith anymore.
No.
It will pass away.
No.
And all that remains is Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
Now.
Y'all a bunch of good preachers.
That's now faith.
That's right. See, this place is such a, it just comes alive when we gather. Gary?
And I'm going along with that now. He is now.
Yes.
He is now here with us.
Yes.
He's now.
Yeah. And you see, we try to put God in our time. We're always saying, well, God's, we're waiting on God's timing. The fact of the matter is God is always now. He doesn't exist in our time. Truthfully, God is waiting for us. You know, we think we're waiting on the Lord, but He's waiting on us. He's waiting us to come to that realization that He's always present. He's omnipresent. And when I get aware of things in India to pray for, most of the time I pray in the Spirit because the Spirit's already there. And then He can reveal to me in tangible words what to pray and how to pray and for who to pray. I can't go there every time I'd like to. I can go there every couple of years. But I know that because of the Spirit being omnipresent, it's always now. No matter what time zone you're in, it's always now. Because God is always now. So you're never going to trouble God. Sometimes, as in the beginning with believers, they think that they have to apologize to God because He's a very busy God and I don't want to trouble Him with my issues. He's not troubled at all because He's now. What's your deal? What you got going on? Tell me. I'll take care of that. Last week we talked about that. We're the dwelling place for a holy God, and it was His blood that made us holy, because the Holy Spirit wouldn't live in a dirty house. So clean up your act about how you think about each other and about yourselves. The Holy Spirit wouldn't indwell us if the blood hadn't have been what it was designed to do, to make us a holy sanctuary for the living God. And the Holy Spirit dwells in each of us. So anyway, by faith, let's do the missions offering and believe that the doors are going to be open again to Dr. Solano and Bill and Ging and myself and anyone else that may be called to go someplace on a missions trip. And what we do is, whatever we do, we just always know we saved this, and God always makes a way for us to go. And and we do this now by faith, because I believe the doors are open in God's eyes, but man has temporarily shut them. So Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for this missions offering. We thank You that it was Your way to provide for those who have a heart and a vision and a spirit to travel with the gospel. And in our case, the doors You opened to us were international, and we're thankful to have a part in that. And thank You that whatever we give, You multiply it, and it's always been more than enough. And we thank You that it will just continue to be available, and that there will always be more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen.